This teaching is brought to you by Christian Family Church International.
What an introduction. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. Wow. I'm amazed by me after that introduction. Amen. I just want to start off by saying, Pastor Nika, I honor you. She's always correcting how I say her name. Pastor Nell. Easier. I just want to say I honor you so much, and I'm thankful that God raised you up for this generation. And I'm excited. This is just the start. I'm really humbled to actually be with all of you tonight. I believe this is the start of something, that God is birthing something tonight. That this is not just the end, but it's actually the start of something, that God is doing something new in this house, with these young adults in this region. It's so humbling for me to even think to myself that God would choose me to be in this room right now. Like, if you think about this idea, and it's not because I'm speaking, it's because God knew you and me before the earths were even formed. Yet he chose to put you and I onto the earth right now. He chose to put you and your family right now. He chose to put you in your neighborhood right now. Like, he knew about you for thousands of years. And was like, he was so excited when the day came. Was like, now is the time I'll put them into earth for my purpose. No one is here by mistake. God knew you would be here tonight. He brought you here. And I'm believing that no one's going to leave here the same, including me. Because just like that worship song that we will worship. Okay, this evening felt like Christmas to me. Just, I kept getting new presents. I was like, firstly, that dance performance, I was like, that is incredible. I wish I could dance. I cannot. I need impartation from some of you in the house. I'm going to try my best, but it's not going to work. So first, the dance and the We Will Worship's worship was amazing. As soon as I heard that, I'm going to butcher the lyrics, but it's going to be close. The Holy Spirit come flow like water song. Amazing. I'm like, I need to put that on my YouTube music worship playlist as soon as possible. So I'm so thankful for that. And then that amazing, amazing panel, I was just learning so much. So it's been amazing. But I believe that each one of us are here for a purpose tonight. And I believe the Holy Spirit is present, that God himself would be with us tonight to transform lives. I believe that God is going to heal the sick tonight. If you came with pain or disease or sickness in your body, Jesus is here to heal you tonight. The presence of God is in this room for you to be set free and healed. He paid for you to be healed. Your healing has already been purchased. Some of you are in the room and you're like, I don't know why I feel this peace. It's not normal. That is the peace of God. And some of you have come here tonight, and tonight you will meet the God that made you. Before we do that, I want to pray, and then we're going to go on a journey together. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Would you lead us into your presence? Would you guide us into your presence? In Jesus' name, amen. How many of us are spontaneous in the room? Do I have any spontaneous people? That's a red flag. Anyone that's not spontaneous, any green flags in the room? You're amazing. You're God's favorite. There's a special neighborhood in heaven for you. Can I share one of the most frustrating things that's happened to me? Recently, a friend was like, hey, let's go and get coffee. I'm 28 years old. I want to drive to coffee myself. He goes, I'm going to pick you up. I'm like, okay, I'm going to sacrifice so we get to spend time together. I get in his car. We go to get coffee. 20 minutes downtown Portland, I'm loving coffee. I should have known better. I get back in the car. Oh, bro, I want to show you one more house that I'm thinking of buying and remodeling. Hold up. I didn't sign up for the house. I signed up for coffee. Can I get an amen? Then we're driving to some random house that I don't want to see, and it's on a Saturday. Now my Saturday is being wasted. Now, at this point, I'm still a good enough Christian to act loving and engaged. Oh, that's such a beautiful house. Wow. You know when you try to speed things up? Yeah, that's amazing. Like, oh, we saw the whole thing. Like, let's He's like, no, let's walk around. I want to show you. I'm like, no, I can see it. I saw it. It's phenomenal. A picture would have done fine too. You showed me a picture. I would have loved the pictures. Text it to me even. When you're home later. I didn't say that. I'm thinking this. Then we get back in the car. I'm like, it's time to go. I wasted an hour, but it's time to go. Then he goes, we need to stop by a shop. I'm like, please let it be a grocery store. There's one place I don't want to be on a Saturday, and it's a furniture store. Now, the married men in the room know this experience. Thank God, I don't. One day, I will die to myself like you. I see you sitting on the couches, not testing them out, but because you're frustrated that your wife is still somewhere in that room. That was me. On the Saturday, I'm sitting there frustrated. He goes, my wife and I need to buy a new couch. What's that got to do with me? I like my couch. I'm like, okay, let's go. No, my wife's coming. I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for coffee. Now I can't fake it anymore. I'm not smiling, and I want you to know I'm not smiling. Right? I want you to know I'm not happy. I'm upset. My wife's coming. What do you think about? He's like, what do you think about this texture? I love it. The first one you showed me, I love. Buy this one now, because then we can. No, I think we have to check 100 textures later. I'm like, bro, I think I'm going to Uber. I'm not going to Uber. I'm not wasting money, but it's a hint. I'm so frustrated. I'm looking at Uber. I'm going to go home. The time goes on, and I'm sitting there frustrated. And eventually, I make it home like 6 hours later, and I'm annoyed. I'm like, I didn't sign up for any of this. Why do I share that story? Because I feel oftentimes us as young believers in church, Christianity can feel like that. Because we got preached a gospel where everything's going to be easy. We got preached a gospel, come to Jesus, your life will be perfect. We got preached the gospel that when you come to Him and you build your house on this rock, the storms of life, they'll stop. We got preached the gospel where, hey, if you come to Him, your finances will always be perfect. We got preached the gospel where come to Him and the trials stop. We got preached the gospel where it's like, if you do this Christian thing right, everything's going to be perfect. And then I start reading the scriptures. I start asking myself, what does it actually mean to be a Christian? And can I start off by saying what it means? Can we just set a foundation right there? Turn to me, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John 2, verse 6. That's where I want to start. The sermon title, by the way, is, Did I Sign Up For This? Question mark. So, 1 John 2, verse 6, in your Bibles. It'll be towards the end of your Bible. This is what it says. He who says he abides in Him, capital H, God, ought himself also to walk just as He walked. This already is a profound verse that Christianity is not just me believing in God, but me actually walking like He walked. That's a crazy standard. Are you with me? So now we go, okay, I'm going to live like Jesus. Tomorrow morning you wake up, I'm going to be Christ-like, no anger. No frustration, perfect peace, perfect love. How long are you going to last? 30 minutes? Some of you that aren't morning people, 10 seconds. Right? Because here's what we do. We hear that and we go, I'm going to use my willpower to be like Jesus. I'm going to try my best with my willpower. I'm going to be Christ-like. But science has showed that willpower is like a muscle. That's why most of us make bad decisions at night. That was a big revelation for some of us. Because we get tired. Now, there's certain things in your life that willpower might help you with, but the deeply ingrained habits and sins, some of us have been struggling with addictions for 10 years. How is willpower working for you? Can I ask an honest question? How is it working? You've tried it. You've tried waking up, I'm not going to watch pornography today. I'm not going to do drugs today. I'm not going to sleep with my girlfriend again today. 10 years later, we're still doing it, trying to rely on willpower to transform us. But what if I told you that willpower is not the answer? What if I told you there's a deeper work to you being formed, spiritually formed? Here's the reality. Every one of us is being formed every day. Whether you realize it or not, you are being formed. Not just when you want to be formed. Every day, what you watch is forming how you think. That's why you come into church like you do you. Jesus never said that, but you were formed. Follow your desires. Jesus never said that, but you were formed. See, being a Christian is not just believing in God. You know that the word Christian is only used 3 times in the whole of Scripture. Once in 1 Peter 4 and then twice in the book of Acts. The word that's used 270 times in Scripture is the word disciple. Some would argue a better word is apprenticeship. Which, what is an apprentice? An apprentice is, if I have an apprentice, they come and spend time with me until they become like me, and then they do what I did. So we think we're signing up, I'm a Christian, I believe God's real. No, true Christianity is apprenticing under Jesus. That's the real Christian walk. And I'm sorry if you got sold something else. But real Christianity is I'm going to be a disciple, an apprentice of Jesus Christ. How do you become a disciple of Jesus Christ? There's 3 basic steps. First, you spend time with him. Second, you become like him. Third, you do what he did. You spend time with him, you become like him, and you do what he did. So when I ask you, how are you becoming like Jesus, what is your answer? Is it willpower? That's a good question, isn't it? What's your plan? Each one of you have a plan, because you're living by it every day. You understand what I'm saying? You wake up every day with a plan. Who you are today is a result of your plan. You being formed. Have you ever noticed, like, an 80-year-old person, you have 2 options. The 80-year-old, super happy, joyful, kind, loving, peaceful. Right? Or critical, hateful, doesn't like anyone. Because they've been formed for a lifetime. Have you ever tried going to the 80-year-old critical person, hey, just be more positive. Have you tried? Doesn't really work. Because every day you're being formed. So what is your plan? Do you have a plan? We live in a time of self-help books. I hear Christians talk all the time that are saved, because salvation and formation are 2 different things. Salvation costs you nothing. Formation will cost you your life. Your works don't contribute to your salvation, but your works contribute to your formation. We got taught this lie, our generation, that works are so bad. Have you heard that? Like, are you doing works? Jesus preaches Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I quoted earlier, when the storms of life come, if you hear what I say and build your house on my words, you'll be like a rock. Remember I said that? And if you don't, it'll be like the sand. Storms come either way, important. What I misquoted was, he doesn't say if you hear my words. He says in Matthew 7, if you hear my words and do it, you'll be like a house built on the rock. Do it. Works are so bad. Says who? Our generation saddens me for this reason. I hear people all the time, fasting, that's works. Can you track with me for a second? Jesus Christ himself. Remember Jesus? God of the universe. Sinless, perfect. Fast for 40 days. His disciples fast. The early church was recorded to have a normal fasting rhythm of 2x a week. Normal. For thousands of years, the church has fasted. Some pastor in 2024... I got an idea, guys. You don't have to. It works. Imagine Jesus. Are you still fasting? You don't get grace. Jesus, you're living out of works. No, man, come into the new covenant. Can you see how arrogant that is? Are you tracking with me? No, you all got it wrong, but I have an idea. Your ideas aren't working. The self-help book isn't working. What you're hearing on Joe Rogan isn't working. A lot of Christians are saved, but they're disciples of Joe Rogan. If you sound more like Joe Rogan than Jesus, you are being discipled by Joe Rogan. Was that too much? Actually, no, it wasn't. I'm not even asking. They did a study in America, and I think it would apply to South Africa too. 63% of Americans confess to be Christians. Amazing. 4% of Americans confess to have a biblical worldview. What does that mean? They see the world through the Bible's lens. That means 1 in 15 of us, even though we confess to be Christians, we see the world through the world's lens. 1 in 15 sees it through the Bible's lens. Isn't that wild? That we can be a disciple of him yet not even know what he said. Here's another one. I don't need to read scripture. How did Jesus defeat Satan in the desert? Think about the arrogance of this again. Jeez, he quotes Deuteronomy, church. He quotes Deuteronomy. So he spends his younger years learning scripture. I love this question. What was Jesus doing at 28? You have no idea. Probably learning scripture. So take some pressure off yourself. What was Jesus doing at 26? You have no idea. Maybe that's a good thing, because he was becoming something. Can I encourage you today that who you're becoming is more important than where you're going? Jesus is really good at finding people that he wants to use. People are like, I want to kill Goliath. Right? Metaphorically. God, use me. Well, are you carrying sandwiches for your brothers? Right? Are you serving? Oh, no. See, and David wasn't serving to get to Goliath. He became a servant. There's no prophetic word about Goliath. It's a part of the journey. Isn't that wild? It's a part of his journey. Jesus himself has to learn scripture. That's what I was saying. That's how he defeats Satan. We have the audacity to go, I don't need to read scripture. Imagine that. Think about what we're saying. The ancient ways. Well, you don't need a new answer. You need an ancient answer. I'm saying you've tried the world's way of formation. It doesn't work. Go back to the basics. How do you accelerate subtraction, not addition? Can I say that you need less in your life, not more? Here's another one. Are you guys still with me? Do you still love me? Here's my favorite one, my least favorite and favorite. I don't need to spend time with God. Everywhere I go, he's there. Have you heard somebody say that? I mean, it's cool. It eases your conscience. Can we read a scripture together? Luke 5:16. While we're turning there, I just want to honor Pastor Greg and Tracy if they're in the room, and if they aren't, I love them so much. They're incredible leaders. And Apostle Theo and Dr. Bev, too, are incredible leaders that I honor so much. And as a generation, we need to be people that honor those that went before us. Because if we don't learn from those who went before us, we're likely to make the same mistakes they made. That's why I'm thankful for leaders in my life. I don't have to make their mistakes. That's another thing our generation's not really good at, right? We think our new way is going to work. Luke 5:16. So Jesus himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. I mean, I don't have a lot to say. Like, if he had to do it, surely I have to. Like, if God himself is like, I need to go and be alone with my Father. Alone. Even when he teaches you about the secret place. Go into your room, close your door. No, he's always with me. It's true, but go into your room and close your door. We need to be people that learn how to host the presence of God in our bedrooms. If I can implore you and invite you to one thing, our generation has to learn how to be alone with God. Everything in our world fights against this idea. Your phone wages war on silence and solitude. Your phone and your life wages war on contemplative prayer, of meditation on Scripture. It wages war on this. We need to be people that can set aside our phone and our distraction. And I know it's hard, but it's so worth it. This is how we become formed. Because Jesus himself, do you know that he was actually on a journey? Scripture says that he learned obedience through what he suffered. So God himself is learning obedience. Very bizarre verse. Oh, you want to learn obedience? How did he learn it? Yet we think suffering's demonic. We would have considered the 12 disciples unsuccessful. Because they got killed for their faith. Imagine that. All of you have unbelief. They raised the dead. We haven't, but we're you guys had trials. But me, I understand grace. Oh, okay, let's go raise the dead. Nah, that's works. Not me. I'm saying I'm always thinking, how can we change a nation? By becoming disciples of Jesus. By learning to spend time with him in silence and solitude. Because here's the answer, right? Someone in the room is struggling with deep ingrained anxiety. Waking up tomorrow and going, I'm not anxious anymore, most likely won't work. We even think, this is another one, I love encounters. I'm an encounter guy. If I just see Jesus, all my fear of man will leave and all my anxiety will be gone. Peter, 3.5 years seeing Jesus more clearly than you and I. You know this guy? Nah. That guy, nah, I actually don't know him. Who just said Jesus? Nah, never met him. 3.5 years. Well, formation takes time. That's beautiful, though. We're becoming something. So you struggle with anxiety. Here's my answer for you. You spend time in silence and solitude. You meditate on Scripture. You fast. You find community of people that are peaceful presence in your life. You break bread with people. You start preaching the gospel. You start tithing to say, God, I am not in charge of my money, you are. And as you start incorporating the spiritual disciplines that Jesus did, 6 months or a year or 2 years later, you look back, you go, where did that anxiety go? There's not one answer. It's you do what Jesus did. You get alone with him in silence and solitude. You go, God, I'm so distracted, but help me. God, teach me how to read the Scriptures. We need to learn how to withdraw and be alone with him often. Every day. The greatest joy of your life was that God longs to meet with you one-on-one in your room. I don't think we understand the privilege that is, that this afternoon I get to be with God in my room. That brings me way more contentment than this. This is a privilege, but contentment, I enjoy my room a lot too. That God would come and be with me. And that's the invitation for each one of us. Because if you try to be like him without being with him, you'll burn out. Have you tried that? Anybody tried? I've tried. You burn out. I have to be with him. I have to be a disciple of Jesus. I have to do what he did. I have to allow myself to be formed. Christina can come up on the keys. I want to invite you this evening to become a disciple of Jesus. You go, I've accepted Jesus. I follow Jesus. Accepting him in salvation is a once-off decision that you make. But being a follower of Jesus is an everyday decision you make for the rest of your life. Being a disciple of Jesus comes at a cost. I'm not going to lie to you and say there's no cost. You're going to have to learn how to deny yourself. Let's read Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me or follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. I'm sorry that you have preached the gospel that there was no cost. It's just not true. Now don't get me wrong, it's so worth it. But there's a cost. Deny yourself. Die to yourself. In a world telling you to do you. In a world telling you to follow your dreams. In a world telling you to do what makes you feel good. In a world that's telling you to be true to yourself, God is telling you to lay down your life. God is telling you to lay down your desires. God is telling you to deny yourself. I want to read out of Philippians chapter 2. God is inviting people tonight to be disciples of Jesus. Believing in Him, being baptized makes you saved, it doesn't make you a disciple. We love the idea of free will, and I'm a big free will guy. I think God gives us a free will which enables me to choose Him back, which is a beautiful idea of love, that God would choose me and I can love Him back. But we negate free will when it comes to formation. We think God's just going to do it. Did you catch what I just said? We love free will until formation. The spiritual discipline is not the end destination. It isn't. There's an extensive list. You're like, what do I do? Read about Jesus. See what He did. Do what He did. And that'd be step one. Read the scriptures. What did Jesus do? He fasted. He prayed. He healed the sick. Start there. So, Philippians 2 verse 6, it's talking about Jesus. Let this mind be, this is what I was saying before I read that. The spiritual disciplines is not the end destination. But say I want to drive to Durban. Our team's going to Durban tomorrow. You need to pray for, guys, our team, everything I try to introduce them to, all my favorite snacks, they don't like. Can you pray for them with me, please? I'm talking biltong. You feel my pain. I am so excited, wet and fatty biltong. Now, I don't mind them not eating it because your boy can handle that biltong himself. Druivors. Cook sisters even. I'm like, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit by their sin, but be praying for us. But if I'm trying to go to Durban, how many of you know that Durban is the end destination, but I can't get there without the highway? I don't know what that highway is called. M3. N3. Now, when I get on the N3, I'm not like, I made it to Durban. But I can't get to Durban without the N3. So it is with the spiritual disciplines. That when I open my Bible in the morning, that's not the end destination. But I know I can never be Christ-like without this. Fasting, the same way. I know I'm not fasting as an end destination, but I know I must die to myself. And fasting is a great way to die to yourself. Right? Oh, you think you're busy fast? See how slow time gets. Right? Breakfast till lunch feels like an eternity. People are like, I'm too busy to spend time with God. You're right, you are too busy. I agree. I have too much responsibility. Oh. You had more responsibility than Jesus? Can we just be honest? And be like, actually, I don't want to spend time with Him. I need God's help. God can work with humility. It's the pride and the excuses that he can't work with. You aren't too busy. It's just not a priority. Amen? Like, we aren't too busy. It's just not a priority, which I've been there. Are you too busy? Show me your screen time. Too busy. But Instagram got 3.5 hours yesterday. TikTok. Look at Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. If you ever want humility in your life, read Philippians 2. People are like, do you realize what I'm called to? I can't stack chairs. If Jesus can become a bondservant, you can stack chairs. Amen? Okay. Verse 8, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. God himself would have to choose humility. Humbled himself. It's a choice. What came after humility? Obedience. Humility. Because why? It says, God, your way is higher than mine. Humility leads to obedience. Where does obedience lead Jesus? Where does the Holy Spirit take Jesus? To the cross. To death. And so it will be for you and I that as we humble ourselves and become obedient, he will lead us to die to ourselves. What happens after death? Resurrection life. Humility, obedience, death, resurrection life. That's for you and me. You want resurrection life? Learn how to die. Die to yourself. Crucify you. Can we stand up right now? I'm going to do 2 altar calls just to give you a heads up. The first one, I'm speaking to people in the room that aren't following Jesus yet. That you aren't walking with the Lord yet. I'm not talking to Christians right now. There's people in the room that somebody brought you here. Somehow you ended up here tonight, and you know that if you died tonight, your life would not be right with God. You want to experience this freedom where God can set you free. You want to become a disciple of Jesus. All it requires from you is repentance. And what is repentance? To turn from your wicked ways and turn to Him. To turn from your sin. You've made mistakes. You've fallen short. There's a price for your sin. There's a price for your mistakes. You can't do it on your own because it requires a perfect human sacrifice. Your life will not pay your debt. That's why Jesus came and died a death that you couldn't die, so that you can receive salvation. This is the good news of God, that you can leave here tonight right with God, just as if you'd never sinned. Everything you committed yesterday and the day before, gone in a moment because of the blood of Jesus. Condemnation, addiction, pain, gone in a moment because of repentance. The scripture says you can become a new creation tonight. And I'm going to ask you to be bold in a few moments. I'm going to ask you if that's you to come forward, because I want to pray with you. But I also want to celebrate with you. This is not a shameful moment. I want to see you come and say, I'm leaving my old life in my seat. I'm done living in sin. I'm done living in bondage. I want to be a part of this family. And I want to pray with you and celebrate your decision. Jesus said, whoever denies me in front of man, I will deny in front of my Father. Today I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive him in front of men, so he'll receive you one day in front of his Father. So that's you on the count of 3, and you go, man, my heart's beating. I know I need a fresh start. I know I need to be saved and set free. I'm not speaking to the Christians. I'm speaking to those that are lost and far from God. If that's you on the count of 3 with no shame, I want you to come forward. 1, 2, 3. Make space right now. Just come forward. There's no shame. Get out of your aisles. People are going to come. Come out of the aisles. Come forward right now. Come in front right now. There's no shame. Come in front. There'll be many of you in the room. Come forward, my brother. You're amazing. You're amazing. You're amazing. We're going to wait for you. There's no rush. Come forward. Receive salvation today. Receive salvation today. Receive salvation today. Become a new creation today. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to say a prayer with you. The power is not in the prayer. The power is in the decision and the faith. That today you go, I'm leaving behind my old life. And I want to tell you that when you go back to your seat tonight, you go back just as righteous as Jesus. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus, not a sin, not a mistake. Because he died in your place. He takes your sin tonight and you receive his perfect right standing with God. No more shame, no more condemnation. So can we all close our eyes? Can we pray this with me? Lord, I come to you and I repent from my wicked ways. I turn to you tonight. Forgive me of my sin. I receive what you did on the cross. Wipe away my every sin. Take my condemnation. Holy Spirit, make me a new creation. I want everyone to say, I am righteous. I am pure. That is your reality. Amen. You don't have to repeat that. That is your reality. The dream team can start ministering to the people up front, getting their details. While this is happening, I want to talk to the rest of the room. I want to read a verse to you. Matthew 8:21. I want you to receive this right now. Matthew 8:21. Jesus tells some people, follow me. This is their response. Then one of his disciples said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. This seems like a kind of a strange thing for Jesus to say. Why not let him go and bury his father? But Jewish scholars will teach you that there's no indication that the father is dead. The man is saying, let me go and be comfortable at home till my father one day dies, and one day in the future, maybe I'll follow you. Doesn't that sound a lot like us sometimes? God, right now I'm too comfortable. When I graduate, when I get married, I'll follow you. When I get a job, I'll follow you. Tonight, God is looking for people that will go, Jesus, I will follow you. I will choose to become your disciple tonight. I'm done with lukewarm Christianity where I incorporate you. I want to be an apprentice of Jesus. If that's you in the room and you know that's for you, that you haven't been an apprentice of Jesus, I want you to come forward right now. Come up front right now. There's no shame. There'll be many in the room. We want to pray for you. Come forward. There's no shame. That you go, I'm going to follow Jesus. I want our ministry team to start praying for people. My team and any other leaders in the room that are a part of the ministry team, keep coming forward. There'll be many in the room. Guys, draw a line in the sand tonight. Are you tired of the results that your way is producing? Are you tired of trying on your own willpower? There's people that are still in their seats bound by addiction. Come forward tonight. There's people still in their seats bound by addiction, bound by anxiety that have tried to incorporate Jesus. There's no shame. We want to pray with you tonight. The team can begin to minister to people. Christina's going to lead us in a song, and then we're going to go after healing in just a few moments. But I just want us to look to Jesus right now. Even if you're up front right now, Jesus is the one that sets you free. As Christina leads us, let's just look out, look at Jesus right now.
Thank you for joining us during this episode of Living Life with Dr. Theo and Bev Vollmerens. We hope that through this inspired teaching, you had an encounter with God. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Apostle Theo and Dr. Bev Vollmerens and would like to enjoy more resources, we hope you will visit our website at www.christianfamilychurch.co.za or for our American listeners, www.christianfamilychurchsa.com.